And it's been 4 years since the brothers Tamerlan and Jahar Tsarnaev stunned the country and attacked the Boston Marathon with pressure cooker bombs. Since the marathon bombing, we've reported on a number of other attacks in Paris, Manchester, Brussels, where the attackers either used bombs that, like the ones in Boston, were packed full of nails, or where the attackers were brothers, where patterns seem to be emerging. So what have we learned from the marathon bombing? Well, Meghna Chakrabarty has been looking into that. When Meghna's not with us on Here and Now, she hosts a program at WBUR called Radio Boston. And Meghna, full disclosure, as many listeners know, I knew one of the bombers, the younger brother, through a young relative. And we'll always have questions about how did this happen. But you and producer Jamie Bologna spent months digging into this, and you tell us you still have more questions than answers.
Exactly, Robin. And that's why we wanted to spend months trying to find answers to some of these questions, because it's been 4 years and we still don't know about critical things about what the government knew about Tamerlan and Jahar Tsarnaev before the bombing, relationships they may had, questions about Tamerlan's immigration file. And then there's the broader question about whether other folks were involved in the bombing.
Well, let's start there. People might be surprised to hear that one of the biggest unresolved questions that you really reminded us of is, who built these bombs? In one of the pretrial motions before Jahar's trial, the prosecutors filed a motion pretty clearly indicating it's unlikely the Tsarnaevs built those bombs.
Right. I mean, again, this is the government before Jahar Tsarnaev's trial saying they didn't find enough black powder in the Tsarnaevs' home or in their cars or on them to indicate that they built the bombs. So they said officially there may be other bomb makers out there. And this was a couple of years ago when they said that. So this is the first unanswered question that we really wanted to tackle. We, just a little earlier this year, asked the current acting U.S. attorney, William Weinreb, who was the prosecutor in the Tsarnaev terrorism trial, you know, whether or not the government feels like it has captured the bomb makers. And here's what he said.
The Boston Marathon bombing case was one of the most thoroughly investigated cases that I have ever come across. Despite all of that investigation, I think it is fair to say that there are still a number of questions unanswered about that case. Maybe the answers will emerge over time.
So here you have a U.S. attorney saying, basically, we don't know, and we couldn't get a straight answer about whether or not there's an active investigation to find out who made the bombs.
Well, and so that means potentially that there is someone else still maybe in this region, or at least in the country, that is laying low and might be capable of doing this. Another of the major questions has to do with the older brother, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, to remind people he was killed in the shootout that followed the bombing when the two brothers were on the run. Questions about whether he was an FBI informant. Now, this sounds like, you know, there are a lot of conspiracy theories, too, so you have to kind of tease them apart. But talk about this question.
Yeah, so this was a question that, right, like a lot of conspiracy theorists have raised. But it was also officially raised in October, just a couple of months after the marathon bombing, by Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. He sent a letter to the FBI saying, was Tamerlan Tsarnaev a federal informant? Didn't get an answer. But then again, in Jahar Tsarnaev's terrorism trial, his defense team put into the official record the claim that the brother, the older brother, was an FBI informant. So we really wanted to see if we could get to the bottom of this. But Robin, this is one of the recurring themes in this special project that my producer and I undertook. There's a deep amount of resistance amongst people who know or the federal government to provide any clarifying information. So, you know, we couldn't get to the bottom of it, but we learned a lot about the federal informant program as a whole, which raise even more questions as well.
And we want to hear what you learned about the informant program, because people may be asking, well, why would Tamerlan Tsarnaev be an informant in the first place? We want to remember that he and his family came as refugees to the United States from Chechnya years ago when they were children. And then he traveled back. Before he traveled back to Chechnya, he was questioned by U.S. authorities. Some people feel there might have been some sort of trade-off. Explain what the informant program is, what you found.
Yeah, so let me first of all just state that the FBI repeatedly has denied that Tamerlan Tsarnaev was ever an informant. They've had a denial about it since 2013, and they continued to do that. They sent us the same 2013 statement saying that the Tsarnaevs were never approached by the FBI to be informants. That's what the FBI claims. But we do know overall that the informant program is massive. There could be upwards of 15,000 informants currently working for the FBI, maybe more than 18,000 working for the Drug Enforcement Agency. And Robin, here's the thing. I mean, there have been cases in which terrorist attacks have had informants involved in them. I mean, one of the most spectacular ones was the 2008 Mumbai terrorist attack, whose mastermind was an American, a Pakistani-American named David Headley, who was a DEA informant. Mm. And so we didn't find out about his involvement there, of course, until after the attacks and his federal terrorism trial. So there are a lot of areas in which many people believe that there should be more sunshine put on the informant program.
Right. And again, the FBI is denying Tamerlan Tsarnaev was in that program. But why does it matter whether or not he was?
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's a really good question. It matters because the informant program is growing. The informant program, a lot of law enforcement officials tell us, is essential. They can't do their jobs to protect national security without having people in communities where there may be some concern. But on the other hand, after 9/11, virtually all of law enforcement and federal informant programs focused on counterterrorism, which means that Muslims in America, and specifically Muslim immigrants, have been targeted or recruited or sought after to be federal informants. And that can be problematic. So just listen to what Michael German has to say. He spoke to us. He's a former FBI agent, spent 16 years doing counterterrorism undercover. And here's what he said.
Informants are the bread and butter of law enforcement. But because the entire Muslim community was viewed as suspect, basically any Muslim that the government had some leverage over could be coerced into becoming an informant.
And flesh that out. What does he mean? What leverage does law enforcement have over immigrants, particularly Muslim immigrants?
Yeah, so leverage in this case means they're applying to become a citizen, or they're applying to for their green cards, or they're interacting with the government in any way regarding their immigration status. And it turns out that the FBI actually has training documents that they give that they use to train new special agents, where they say, you know, you should know about your potential informant's, quote unquote, immigration vulnerabilities, and that's a place where you can say, hey, you know, we might be able to help you get your green card if you become an informant for us. And this all comes under the auspices of a really big program that was started in 2008 by the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, or USCIS. It's called CARP. The Controlled Application Review and Resolution Program. And really the key thing about it here, Robin, is that this is actually an official program that lets law enforcement have a say over immigration applications for anyone who's trying to become a U.S. citizen. And that has an effect, Robin. Just listen to Susan Church. She's the former chair of the New England chapter of the American Immigration Lawyers Association. And here's what she said about the special treatment that immigrants who are in the CARP program get.
There are specific officers that are deemed CARP officers, and they get the file before a person is even interviewed by immigration.
And more importantly, that special CARP officer interacts with law enforcement to see whether or not there are issues with the immigration application.
Well, this is where to bring us back to Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the older brother, the Boston bomber who was killed, who we said his family came here as refugees. He wanted to get U.S. citizenship. He tried to get U.S. citizenship in 2012.
That's right. And so we looked at his immigration file closely. And Robin, in it, we found evidence that his immigration file was routed through this CARP program, again, which raises questions about, you know, at that moment, was that one of those leverage points that the government may have had over Tsarnaev? We don't know because they wouldn't answer any of our questions about this. Robin, look, obviously there are a lot of questions here and not enough answers. But the point is that, you know, lots of law enforcement officials, former law enforcement officials, and even some Congress people have been saying, we need more accountability. And accountability isn't mutually exclusive to the good work that so many law enforcement folks and informants are doing. They're not in conflict with each other. And there's a problem if we don't have that kind of accountability. I mean, just listen to, again, Michael German. He's the former FBI agent. He spent almost 20 years undercover doing this work. And here's why he says more sunshine is going to help us all.
Instead of doing a full accounting for what happened, there's a knee-jerk reaction to shut the lid on it, but that causes more problems than it solves and just ensures that we're going to have future catastrophes like this that could have been prevented.
Former FBI agent Michael German, Meghna Chakrabarty took that deep dive into what have we learned from the Boston Marathon bombings. We'll have more at hereandnow.org of her reporting. Meghna, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Robin.